Psalm 94 and verse 12 this evening. And again, we're in our series, I Am Blessed. We're looking at the blessings of God that aren't tied to the ever-changing circumstances in our life, but are tied to the ever-faithful, unchanging God that we serve. And so we've seen a number of them. Tonight, we're going to see one from Psalm 94 and verse 12, where the Bible says, "Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law." And tonight we're going to see, I am blessed with chastening. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word, and we pray that you would make it very clear to us, Lord, that your spirit would have his work in our hearts and in our lives tonight. We'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So I have a problem, and I have a problem with following a GPS. And Erica will confirm this, that this has happened multiple times. The GPS works great, you know, and I'm very thankful that we have a GPS. It makes me feel old to say this, but I remember back when, you know, we used to use maps. You know, I guess I'm that old, but anyways. So they're great, right? And they're very accurate nowadays. They say that. They're accurate to within like 16 feet of your location, and they're hoping to get it within like 3 feet of your location, which is, it's scary in one way you look at it, another way it's, you know, it's great for things. But so anyways, following a GPS, right? You're in your car, you plug that destination into your GPS and off you go, and it gives you a nice clear route. You can see where you're headed. It's got the line there that you follow, and every turn it like lets you know that it's coming and all of these things. Very helpful, very clear. My problem is kind of twofold. One is that sometimes I just don't pay attention, and like I'll have the sound off on my phone. And you know how it is sometimes you're going somewhere and you know the first couple turns, right? You know the first like 3 or 4 turns, and then after that you're like, I don't know where I'm going after that. And I get confident. You know, I know those 3 turns, and then the next one I forget, right, that I'm supposed to be following the GPS, or I think it's further down or whatever, and I have the sound off. I haven't needed it in the first several turns, and then I forget, and I go by it, or I miss it, or whatever. But there's another problem that I have, and that is when I'm turning, and I know there's a turn coming up, and I'm trying to follow the GPS, but there are multiple roads, right? You're like in an urban environment, and you're taking a right turn, and there's 3 that you can see, right? 3 road signs, and you go, 3 street signs, you go, which one is it? And you're trying to like look down the GPS, like read the road name that you're supposed to and find it on the sign. Am I the only one who does this? And I get super confused. I panic. I go, I don't know which one it's supposed to be. And it's telling me you got a quarter of a mile left. And I go, I don't know how far that is. I don't know which one's a quarter mile out. You know, they all look that distance. I don't know. And then I panic, and I'll either turn to the first one, or I'll be like, no, that's probably not it. I'm trying to gauge the shortening distance on the screen, going, I don't know. And so you just pick one, you know, and you get it wrong every time. It doesn't matter. It's 50-50 or 1 out of 3, and it doesn't matter how many times you do it. It seems like you just get it wrong all the time. And it's like the GPS is very clear, and they've made it very helpful. They put the name of the road there. They tell you the distance. They show you it with a nice blue line or whatever. And yet, no matter how clear it is, there are times where I still am able to mess it up. And every time, there is that potential. There's that possibility for me to get it wrong. You know, I was thinking about this verse in our passage tonight and in our subject, and God has laid out a very clear path for us, hasn't he? I'm talking about the day-by-day decisions that we make, living according to the Word of God. Now, I know there's times where we look ahead to our future and we say, I'm not sure what God has for me. There's opportunities and I'm not sure which door to go through. And there are times where we go, I'm not exactly sure. And we take time and pray and read the Word of God. And then God, in his time, opens that up for us. But I'm talking about like day by day, just doing what we know is right according to the Word of God. God's made that very clear for us. There's several verses in Psalm 119. And I'm just going to read 4 of them. Psalm 119, 101, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And verse 133, order my steps in thy word. So God gives us the word of God, and he lays out all these principles in the word of God that, in essence, they act like like the border of the path that we're supposed to be on, right? They are the guidelines that are there for us to stay inside the will of God according to the Word of God day by day, just walking according to what God has told us to do. And we go through and we find that there's a lot of guidelines for our relationship with the Lord, right? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. It says in 1 John, we're not supposed to love the world and the things that are in the world. We know that we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. We know we're supposed to serve the Lord and that we can't serve God and mammon. And, you know, we could go on, but they are these guidelines that say, okay, this is the path. This is how you're supposed to walk. Stay in the will of God by the Word of God. Then there's a whole bunch of guidelines on our relationship with other people, right? How we're supposed to love others as you would love yourself and as Christ has loved you. And we can talk about patience and forgiveness and all of these sort of things. And we go to the Ten Commandments and we see, thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not steal. You know, God has given us these guidelines to say, this is the way you are supposed to live. This is the path you are supposed to walk on. And when we are in that way, when we are in the path that God has told for us, he says, okay, now I can bless you. We're in that way. God pours out his blessing upon those that are walking according to his word. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10 says that you are complete in him. And we understand that completeness. We experience that completeness when we are walking close with God and obedient to God. It's that path of obedience where we find peace. We find rest in obedience to God. We find joy there. We find satisfaction, contentment in that path. Because that's the path where God can pour out his blessing upon us. You know, one of the best feelings in the world is like that hour after you eat Thanksgiving dinner. You know what I'm talking about? You've eaten to your heart's content more than your heart's content many times, right? Because you fill up and then you have dessert. And then like the football game's on, you're on the couch, you're in the recliner, and if you want to take a nap, you can take a nap. Sure, go for it. You know, you got nothing else to do. You're full, it's warm, there's football on the TV, you can take a nap if you want to. If you don't want to, you don't have to take a nap. No pressure. You know, you're just there, and it's like a beautiful hour, isn't it? Maybe 2 hours if you can stretch it that long. But it's just that feeling of you're full and you're content, you're happy. You don't want anything else. You're just happy to lay there and, you know, watch the Cowboys lose or whatever is going on. Just that place of contentment. And when we're in God's will, there's an even better place of satisfaction, where you have peace and joy and contentment because you know you're doing what God has told you to do. You're in that path. You love God. You love other people, and you're living where God wants you to live. Walking in the path that God has outlined for us in the Word of God is the best place for us. And that's the place where God is able to bless us with all of those things. Blessings through obedience. But if we're honest, the reality of our life is that many times we take a turn out of the path that God has outlined for us, right? And we sin and we err in those ways. We cross the clear lines that God has laid out for us, and we leave the path of obedience and we start down the path of disobedience in whatever way that is, right? In whatever line we cross, whatever principle or guideline we disobey, but we leave that path of obedience and we go toward that path of disobedience. The third verse of the song, "Come thou fount of every blessing," it says, "Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee." And it says, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love." And don't we feel that? We feel that heart that just wants to go its own way. We've got a heart within us that's desperately wicked. It's deceitful. It wants its own way. And we struggle with that. And many times, though, we give in to that. And we leave the place that God has laid out for us. And he said, this is how you're supposed to live. Do this, do not do that. And we cross those boundaries. We take a turn where we're not supposed to. And we leave the path of obedience and that path of blessing. And it's in those times, though, that according to Psalm 94, God blesses us with chastening. Now, I say that we're blessed with chastening, and doesn't it sound almost sarcastic? Like I'm supposed to go blessed with chastening. And sometimes it sounds that way. You go, okay, that's, you know, out of all the blessings that we've heard so far in this series, This one probably ranks the lowest on our list of the blessings that I want in my life, right? The other ones are much more desired, right? But when it says it in Psalm 94 in verse 12, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord. It's not being sarcastic. It's not a joke. And we understand that. But thankfulness for chastening takes maturity, right? It takes maturity, a mature Christian, to be able to really be thankful for chastening and for the correction of God in our life. Because it's mature Christians that really prioritize their walk with God above everything else, above all else, who say, the most important thing for me is to be right with God. And that means I've got to also be right with other people. But it's that maturity that is there that says, the most important thing for me is to be in that path that God has laid out for me. So when I err, when I stray, I want to be blessed with chastening for God to bring me back to the right path. And that's how God uses chastening in our life. He uses it to bring our attention when we leave that path. You know, you drive down the highway and you have the rumble strips that are there. You've got the lines that are painted on the road and you've got guardrails that are there. All of those things are supposed to bring your attention to the fact that you are no longer where you're supposed to be on that road. And God does that, and he uses that chastening really to motivate us to come back into the path that he has for us, the path where he can truly bless us. And chastening is, we can define it as training through discipline. Training through discipline, it's doing things the hard way. And when I think about chastening, I think about it as like having two tiers. And this is just me personally. I can't find these two levels like pointed out in Scripture. But as I consider chastening, I like to think about it in two levels. There's the first where God takes away his peace and his joy and his contentment. And he removes those things from us. We know the Bible says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. In Psalm 51, where David is talking about his sin and getting God's forgiveness for that, he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. And God makes us miserable when we leave the path that he has, the path of obedience. God says, I'm not going to bless you with peace and joy and contentment if you do not walk according to the word of God. And when we leave that, we've left God. We've left the source of all of our blessings. And God says those blessings are for those who live in that path of obedience. If we're not abiding in him, we're not abiding in his blessing. And I think that, I consider that to be like the first level of chastening, where we disobey and God says, okay, I'm not going to let you be peaceful. I'm not going to let you have joy in your life. You will not be content going after what you're going after. And God takes away all those things to get our attention, like on an emotional level, that we are not where God wants us to be. And then I think the second level, the second tier, is where God allows us to experience the consequences of our sin. And many times God is very gracious and he's patient with us and he's long-suffering and he withholds this. And he lets us go through many times a long period of time of just not being at peace and not having joy. And he withholds the true consequences of our sin. And God can be very merciful, but if we persist, God will allow us to find out the end of the path that we're on. And he will let us find out for ourselves the destruction that awaits us in disobedience to the word of God. Proverbs 22 and verse 3 says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple, they pass on. They just keep going. They pass on and are punished. And no Christian really wants to find themselves there, finding out the end of their sin, the end of the path that they have chosen. But God chastens us in these different ways. He says, I won't let you be at peace, have joy and contentment. And if we continue to persist, he says, okay, you can find out the end of that path that you are on. But we're blessed when God chastens us. We're blessed because God is trying to bring us back. He's trying to bring us back to that path where he can again bless us. And we see in that God's commitment to us, that God is committed to having that right relationship with us, committed enough to send Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us, to forgive us and cleanse us from our sin. But God is committed through our obedience, and he's also committed through our times of disobedience. He is committed to us, to our relationship with him. And so God works with us using chastening, And blessed is the man whom God chastens. Blessed is the Christian that in their rebellion and in their disobedience has not been abandoned by God, has not been completely rejected by God, but God has continued to be committed to them to bring them back. And if we're paying attention, in those times of chastening, we hear three messages that God's trying to tell us. And I want to see these tonight. Three messages that we hear from God in his chastening. And the first is, it's a message of repentance. A message of repentance. And I want to see this in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19. Revelation 3 and verse 19. In the letter to the church of Laodicea, he tells them, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." There was a German couple, they're driving in Hamburg, Germany. This was like 15, 16 years ago, and they're following their GPS. But the GPS, I guess it hadn't updated or whatever, and you know, back then they didn't update as automatically. I remember having to like load maps onto them or whatever, but whatever, for whatever reason, it hadn't updated and didn't know that the road they were on was under construction. So like, it ended, right? It just kind of abruptly ended. And the driver of this vehicle ignored a sign that said road under construction, went through several barricades, and plowed into a sand pit. And they were okay. But they went through all of that, right? They missed a sign that was there. They went through a couple of barricades, and they dead-ended in this sand pit. All of those things, all those signs, and all of those barricades had one message, and that was, don't go the way you're going. Find somewhere else, anywhere else, but do not go this direction. And you know, that's the message of chastening, isn't it? God's telling us, don't go that direction. Don't go in the way you're going. And his desire for us is to repent, which means to change our mind and change our mind about the path that we're on and go a different way. And when we get to chastening, it's because we've missed the sign that's there in the Word of God that has already told us when we're still in that path of obedience and we're looking at that path off, that path of disobedience. We've missed the sign that's in God's Word that says, don't go that way. You are not to do that. And God gives us those commands in Scripture for our good, for our safety, for our benefit. We've already missed that sign. And it's then as we go off that God starts to put these, like these barricades in our path. The barricades that say, okay, if you're going to do this, it's going to be a bumpy road for you. And you're not going to have peace and joy and contentment on this path. And we sometimes smash our way through those barricades over and over and over again. But it's this message from God who says, you need to repent. You need to turn around and don't continue going in the direction that you're on. Zechariah chapter 1, if you'll go there with me. Zechariah chapter 1. God is showing us over and over, turn around. Don't go that way. Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 1. Here's the message to the people of Israel. In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, so they're in captivity, right? The second year of Darius. Here's the message. Verse 2, the Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Therefore say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Right at the beginning, right? The Lord lays it out right at the beginning of this book to the children of Israel. He starts with the theme, right? The main message, and that is, turn around. Turn ye unto me, the Lord said. And he tells them, you've been experiencing all these things in captivity. The answer is, don't go the way you're still going. Turn around. And that's the message that's there in chastening. Turn around. Repent. It's a message of repentance. Number two, it's also a message of love. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, we know this verse. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You know, God's love never changes for us. It's an everlasting love. But I know I've said this before, how we experience the love of God sure changes. Yes, God always loves us. But you know, What does every parent say at some point to their child when they have to discipline them? I'm doing this because I love you, right? I'm doing this because I love you. And what does the child say? You hate me. You know, this, I don't like this. I don't enjoy this. Like, how is this love? And it, when there's disobedience, love doesn't always look like we want love to look. And I use the illustration, I don't know, I've used it before, how we have different sets of clothing for different things. You know, we have somewhere we're dressed up, you know, to maybe to go out to eat or, you know, go to a concert or go to church or whatever. We have our nice clothes. We've got our casual clothes that we just wear around the house. And then we've got our work clothes, right? They've got holes in them. They got paint all over them, whatever. They're dirty. They're grass stained, all of those things. They're just our work clothes. Chastening is the work clothes of love, right? And they love puts on chastening when it has a job to do, when it's got to, like, do the dirty work of correcting and discipline. But it is the love of God, and that's a message that we can read into chastening, to say, God loves me. And I wanted to read a passage in Job chapter 5, if you'll turn there. In Job chapter 5, it's one of Job's friends talking, Eliphaz. And he says in chapter 5, verse 17, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." Look at verse 18. "For he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth and his hands make whole." And there's that idea of pain in order to make things better, of hurting someone in order to heal them. And we could use illustrations in the medical field of them having to hurt you in order to do the healing process. But there's a goal in that, right? And the goal is repentance. And in all of that, we see how much God loves us enough to do this, enough to not just cast us to the side and say, I'm done with you, but loving us enough to chasten us and to bring us back. And so in chastening, we hear the message of God's love for us. A love that is committed, a love that's willing to make the hard choices when we need them to be made for us. But it's a message of love. But then lastly, if we listen, we'll hear a message of hope. So Proverbs chapter 19. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 18. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 18. It says, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 10, "For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure," speaking about our earthly parents, "but he," that is God, "for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." And when we fail God and we fail God in others, or when we fail God in ourselves, in our disobedience and in our sin, we can feel pretty low, right? And we get to that place where we're just disappointed in ourselves. And we're upset with how we've done things and the ways we've hurt God, and we've hurt ourselves, and we've hurt other people. And you get to the point where you can almost feel hopeless about who you are and your condition. And as God chastens you and you get to that place where you just feel miserable with everything, in that chastening, there is a message of hope. Because God is saying, listen, if you turn around, there's a road back. There is a path back to obedience. There is a path back to a right relationship with God and with other people. There is a road back to the blessings of God in the path of obedience. And he gives us that message of hope. And if we're not going to turn there, but in Luke chapter 15, it's the message, or the parable of the prodigal son. And the prodigal son, we know the story. He gets his inheritance from his father and he takes off, right? He lives his life exactly as he wants to with all the wealth that he has. And then he finds himself in a place of misery, right? And he finds himself without anything. And in that we see like his want and his dissatisfaction. He doesn't have peace. He doesn't have joy anymore. He's lost all of that. In that place of just desiring, wanting something. But then he has this moment of realization. And he realizes that he can just go back. He realizes he can go back home to his father. And all of a sudden, there's this hope for him. that his life doesn't have to be spent where he is for the rest of his life. There is a path back to his father. There is, he hopes, forgiveness with his father. And that's the message God is trying to get across to us in chastening, is that we can go back to the father and find, like the prodigal son did, a father whose arms are open, waiting with forgiveness and love. And God says, even in our darkest hours, there is hope for us. No matter how far our sin has taken us, how many barricades we've smashed our way through in the path of disobedience, God says there's still hope. And in the message of chastening, as hard as that is for us to deal with, God wants you to know there's hope in those times. I want to read one more passage, Micah chapter 7. I take that back. There will be one more passage, but Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. This is a very beautiful passage. I love reading this one in Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. And there's this message of, yes, I've sinned, and yes, I'm bearing the indignation and the punishment of God. But even in that time, I know that I shall arise. I know the Lord will be a light unto me, and I know that he will bring me forth to his light. And then if we go to the end of the chapter, verse 18, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You know what our hope is in those times? It's not in us. It's not that we can pull ourselves out of the pit we've dug for ourselves. It's God. It's the forgiveness that's there with God. It's his mercy. It's his grace. It's his strength. It's his love that's there. Our hope is when we turn back to our Father and we see who he is and know what he is able to do in our life. The message of chastening is, turn around. You need to repent. I still love you, and there's still hope. That's what God tries to tell us in chastening. The blessing of chastening is there in the message, and the blessing of chastening is there in the results when we turn around and when we come back to God. I'm blessed to have a God that chastens me. When we stay in the way that God has for us, when we stay in his path, the path of obedience, we're blessed. But we're also blessed, as it says in Psalm 94, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest. And we've seen people take the hard way, haven't we? We've seen that in our experience. We've seen people who have, we've watched them go out of the path of God's will, and maybe we've even said something to them and counseled them, and yet they've gone their own way, and we've seen it. We've seen that happen. We've also seen it in our own lives, those times, and we remember those, and we look back on those and say, you know, what a mistake that was. What a waste that was in my life, that time, however long it was. And we go, I should never have done that. And we remember, though, the chastening of God. We remember getting to that place where we go, it just was not fun. I was miserable. I knew what I was doing was wrong, and God would not let me get away from that. I knew there was just no peace anymore in my life. There was no joy. And I knew there was something that I wanted, and I could not find it as hard as I tried to run in that direction. And God brought us to that place of understanding, where he said, you need to turn around, you're going the wrong way. And in those times, we consider ourselves blessed, don't we? Because we've gotten back. We've gotten back to where we're walking with God, and we look back on those times and go, if God hadn't gotten my attention, I don't know where I would be. If God hadn't brought me back to where I was supposed to be. And we look at that and go, I'm so blessed in God doing that for me. But I wonder tonight if you're here and you look at your life and maybe God is just pointing out to you that you're experiencing that chastening in some way. And you go, I know God's trying to get my attention and God's trying to point that out to me. And you may not even be able to say why exactly. And you say, you know what, life's good. Circumstances are fine and I've got everything I could want. And we go, I'm just not happy. I just don't have peace. I feel like I'm missing something in my life. You know, I don't know why. I look around and say, I should have everything I want. And even when life is good, yet God has said, he's trying to point out something in your life. And he's trying to get your attention to something. And it's time for us to just say, like David did, search me, O God, and know me. Try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. And here's the other passage I was going to read, Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, the Spirit of God just will not let us go. He will not let us go. In Acts chapter 9, it's the account of Saul and his salvation before he was Paul. And in this, there's a very good descriptive metaphor for chastening and the conviction of God that I want to look at as we close. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1, Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any in this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Here it is. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. The idea of the word pricks there is it's an ox goad. And back in those days, they would use, when they were plowing with an oxen, they would have the oxen out in front of the plow. They would be holding the plow, and they would need something to help them correct the oxen if it moved out of line. And so they would have typically an 8-foot-long wooden pole with a metal spike on the end. I thought, you know what I should do? I should go get a 2x4. I should put a nail through the end of that thing as an illustration, but I didn't. They're too expensive. But anyways, so like this 8-foot-long pole with this metal spike at the end, and if that oxen moved, they would, you know, poke that oxen. And there were sometimes that oxen would kick or would lunge against that metal spike and try and push back against that. And you know, it probably thought, ow, that hurts. I'm going to do something about it. And in that time, their attempt to do something about it only served to hurt them even more. And the Lord looked at Saul and said, this is what you're doing. He says, I'm trying to point you in the right direction. And you're just pushing against that. And he says, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. There was something in Saul that knew he was not doing it right. And he kept trying to go in that direction. And we can find ourselves in times trying to just force our way through. And God puts these barricades in front of us. And through his chastening and his conviction, he wounds us to let us know that we're not going the right direction. And yet many times we try and push our way through and think, if I just persist, I will get through that. I'll just get through this misery that I'm in right now. And if I get through it and get through the other side, I'll be fine. And we just try and push our way through it. But what we'll find on the other side if we do get through is just the destruction that our sin has caused in our life. That is all that waits for us down that path of disobedience. And tonight, if in some way you've recognized that God is trying to get your attention, in whatever way God's trying to point that out to you, the answer is turn around. God loves you, there is hope, but turn from the way you're going. Go back to God and find forgiveness in him. Don't let your flesh tell you that if you keep going, there's something good and it's just around the next corner. That's the lie that our flesh tells us. That's the lie that Satan tells us, that if we just keep pushing in the way we're going, we'll find something better. But there isn't anything better for us down that path of disobedience. And that's what God's trying to tell us. We're so blessed to be a people that God chastens. And it does not feel like it at the time. It's only really after we get through it and we understand where God has brought us back to, and we understand when we get back to the path of obedience and find the blessing and the joy and the contentment and the peace that's there, that we look back and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you stopped me from the way I was going and brought me back to where I should be. Blessed. We are so blessed to have a God that chastens us. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time tonight. Thank you for your chastening. Lord, even though it is difficult to endure and to go through and to experience, Lord, we understand what you're trying to do in our life. Lord, help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit within us. Lord, help us to be in tune to what you're trying to tell us. But Lord, help us to not continue to push through your chastening. Help us to repent, Lord, and to seek your forgiveness. And we pray that you would work in our hearts now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.